Powerful morning, don't you think? Dedication just makes us want to give ourselves to God. And we promise to pray for the parents of that beautiful little child. We promise to pray for the grandparents and other relatives and friends. It's wonderful to see parents bring their children to God for a dedication. And that was a great song we sang just then. I'll just move to stand up and just really involve myself in its singing. And we'll do that a little later, I think, as well. I'm Colin Maxwell. I'm appointed to our divisional headquarters here in New South Wales and the ACT, and I do stuff there at the headquarters and have various breaks for coffee and lunch we're on in harmony there at DHQ, just to give you a reassurance of that. I want to thank Carissa for bringing the kids up. She does a great job all the time, but great to see the kids in that sort of... Who was the guy in Midnight Oil? Well, formerly in Midnight Oil and formerly a politician. He'd be great for that, wouldn't he? You know, you freeze. But I got them to freeze. I wanted them to do that simply because God sees us like that. You know that, right? God sees us. We've seen the technology on TV. We've seen it all there where everything freezes and then another camera comes in and goes around and around and sees the various aspects of where that, maybe it's a football game, where that player is diving for a try or whatever they're trying to do, and be whatever show it is, it's an image that's stuck. And then another camera comes around and you can observe and you discover, oh, they're lovely shoes, or that's a lovely handbag, or gee, it's a really checkered jacket. God sees us 360 degrees and more. You understand that, right? That wherever we are, whatever we do, God can see what's in our heart, what's on our face, what's on our mind, what we're thinking of saying. And I want us to consider that kind of approach this morning with the woman at the well. I want us, if we could, to think as verses are read out, and I encourage people with bold voices, loud voices, to read verses for me, if you'd be so kind. And we're going to freeze on that moment. We're going to have a look at this woman and what she said to Jesus, and have a consideration to what Jesus has said to this woman, because in every instant, there's a lesson for us all. God sees us 360, sees us all around, sees what's in our heart. And just as he did with this woman, he approached her. He took the initiative. So too does Jesus take the initiative with you and with me. So let's begin with John 4, verse 9. Now I have to have... a drink every now and then. It's important for me to stay hydrated, or things might turn pear-shaped, so to speak. I was at a call once where someone exchanged my drink of water for red cordial. We had a marvellous Sunday that Sunday, I can tell you, but we've just got water here this morning. So now, this is John chapter 4, verse 9. Is there someone who can read that verse in a loud voice for us, please? Thank you very much. We're looking at this woman. We're pausing there. We see Jesus with her. Not so long ago, I had a discussion with an employee who had helped a client by providing that client with transportation home. Now, the client was being disruptive, aggressive, and argumentative, and it was thought best, bit of a consultation happened. We thought, yeah, let's get this guy out of here. You know, he's been here long enough. He's caused distress long enough. So one of the guys in the office offered to take him home. This guy who was offered to take him home was not a Christian. And in the car, apparently driving this gentleman home, during the drive, the client explained to this man that he was a Christian. Gave a bold testimony about the fact that he couldn't come to the Salvation Army. You don't speak in tongues. I do, and I'm a Christian. So, misinformed, poor beggar. What teased the interest of the employee when he returned was that the client claimed to be a Christian. Yet the very reason that he was given a lift home that day was because he was aggressive, he was disrespectful and argumentative towards staff, and he was disrupted. That's why he was sent home. Friends, there's a type of people who come to Jesus, claim him as friend, but never fully deal with their baggage. And by not doing so, they hurt themselves and they damage Jesus' reputation. A clean heart is not a bad-tempered, aggressive, or disruptive heart. This woman at the well was not only aggressive towards Jesus, she avoided Jesus' questions. She responded harshly to what he has said as a man. This woman at the well is carrying baggage. She had hate in her heart. And you've heard this, a message of this woman many, many times over. And from different perspectives. And today it's no different. We've got a still picture and we're choosing a certain perspective about this woman. She had hate in her heart. We know that the Jews and the Samaritans did not associate well with one another. In fact, the Jews were hoping and praying for a resurrection that excluded the Samaritans. Funny thing there. Yet both Jews and Samaritans worshipped the same God. Both Jews and Samaritans worshipped the same God. It would seem to me that there is a lot of hatred in the world today, and Christians are not immune to adopting this as their own. Christians need to be tolerant towards those whose standards and lifestyles seem alien to them. Let's look at verse 10, John 4, verse 10. Perhaps there's someone with another loud voice who'd like to read that, please. And there's no hold up, right? If we just don't sort of wait for everybody else to read it. We just say, yeah, I'm going to read that. I'm going to make this meeting happen fast so I can go and have morning tea and check out this beautiful little baby, right? So perhaps there's someone here this morning who'd like to read John 4, verse 10. Thank you very much. There are types of people in the church today who could, like this woman, be standing within meters of Jesus and hear his voice, yet still not perceive what Jesus is talking about. It's as if they're speaking across purposes because someone's not listening. Bound up by culture and misinformation. She's not listening. God's gift expressed here as the water of life is the precursor to the Holy Spirit. And with the coming of the Holy Spirit is a wonderful bundle of gifts, generously, lavishly given to his children. Yet there are types of people in the church who are not even extending their hands in readiness to receive such wonderful gifts. It's not that they don't know about God's Spirit, it's that somewhere along the way it has seemed easier for them, less troubling to their conscience, to be seen in the house of the Lord and associate with Christians instead of fully receiving Jesus and being raised up by him and his Spirit. There's people in the church who are Christians by association, if you know what I mean. Bound up by a lifetime of less than effective spiritual learning. That's another perspective of this woman and how we draw from that something for some of us today. In John 7, verse 38, there's a marvellous verse that says this: streams of living water will flow from deep within the person who believes in me. It begins with, Jesus said. Streams of living water will flow from deep within the person who believes in me. Now, someone please, John 4, verse 11.
The woman said to him, "Sir, you don't have anything to use to get water, and the well is deep. So where are you going to get this living water?"
There are types of people, thank you very much, Marty. There are types of people in the church who are so caught up with the practicalities. It's astounding. She looks at Jesus and she says, "You don't even have a bucket and you don't even have a rope because the well's deep," you know? She's complicated this ever so much with her practicalities. She doesn't have a bucket or a rope to get water. They are ignorant. There are people who are ignorant to or refuse to believe the possibilities and the potential of anything in God's hands. And that includes me and you. We can be in God's hands. And God can make us a perfect vessel, wonderfully tailored to his needs. And that's our mission as people who believe in him, as Christians. It's a bit like Thomas, that disciple of Jesus. When told that Jesus had risen from the dead, he said, "Hang on a minute, well, I refuse. Scripture says I refuse to believe this unless I see the nail marks in his hands and I put my fingers into them and put my hand in his side. I refuse to believe what you're saying." And a week later, Jesus appeared to him and said, "Stop doubting and believe. Stop procrastinating. Stop complicating things and believe. Trust." At the time of Jesus, living water was a term used to show the distinction between stagnant water, where, you know, nothing much lives in stagnant water, the distinction between stagnant water and the flowing water or fresh water. That's the distinction. When Jesus uses the term "though," he means the water that sustains life. This is the water that brings cleansing and healing over and over. Now we'll just move the lens again, the camera or the perspective, to another side, to another statement. Jesus is speaking with this woman at the well. And John 4 verse 12 says,
"You are not more important than our ancestors, Jacob, are you? He gave us this well, he and his sons and his animals drank water from it."
Thank you very much. We might be gathered in the house of God today, but there are people who still don't make God their king. They don't place God upon the throne of their lives because there's someone or something else there holding that position. Holding that position within themselves and holding their attention, withholding them from openness before God. Here the woman at the well scoffs. "Surely you are not more important than our ancestor Jacob," she scoffs. There are people who cross their arms and say to Jesus, Surely you can't mean that this is a requirement that I have to do. Surely this doesn't. Surely you're not asking me to do this. Surely you don't want me to speak to so and so. Who do you think you are telling me what to do? Who is Jesus to you? Scripture is being used today like a mirror. And I ought to say that these are just a few thoughts from these verses. There's much more to be shared, much more to be shared. But Scripture is like a mirror. We can read the Scripture and we can see our reflection as it ought to be according to God's great potential in us, or His promise to be His potential in us. Who is Jesus to you? We're considering who Jesus is to this woman. The ancient Samaritans were undoubtedly descendants of Jacob, but in Jesus' time they were not genuine Israelites. They were a corrupted people sprung up from a mixture of many, many different nations. 2 Kings 17. Today, some people want to augment what God has said in His Word. They want to add this little condition or that, or they want to ignore that and just embrace this. They live loosely based on being a God-fearer or Christian. And all the time, they don't realise how far in their own self-evolved faith, they don't realise how far they've wandered away from the well. And they don't realise how needful they are of this spiritual tonic. They live confidently according to a blend of ideas that suits them. People, we've got to understand that not everything God asks of us suits us just fine. You know? Not everything that God asks of us, not everything that God tells us suits us just fine. But in faith, we embrace and accept it. And in God's time, all is good, all is great, all is to His glory and honour. Let's look at verses 13 and 14. Two verses, one after the other. Anybody up to that, please? Beautiful. It gushes up into spiritual life. It gushes up into eternal life. Here's another type of person as we change our perspective, as we listen to what the woman says and we take note of what Jesus says. We take another view again. Here's another type of person in the presence of Jesus. These are people who are all in the presence of Jesus. The person who comes to Jesus and still does not find the drink suitable to their taste. Nothing is achieved without submission. When we come to Jesus, He grants us forgiveness and restoration. The old is gone and it's all made new. And with that renewal, a person finds a spiritual renewal. A person finds a new spring of joy well up within them, which is the abiding presence of God. And people notice it. You're known for it. It's a characteristic of your new life, which is in Christ Jesus. And this woman at the well, she was getting close. She was getting close. No hindrance is shaken off without a willing release. No sin is forgiven unless it is confessed. And its hold on our lives is no longer rooted in our own willfulness or our own desires. It's gone. We release these things. Forgiveness is accompanied by a full immersion in God's Holy Spirit. And that's the gushing flow, the overflowing effect of Him in us. And here there is also the intimation that this gush is eternal, conditional on ongoing receptiveness of the believer towards God, ongoing relationship, a nurturing, healthy relationship with God. Now, there are more types of people here in Scripture. There's the person who wants what God's got to give but hasn't made any attempt to confess their need and receive it in verse 15. There's the person who wants to argue with Jesus even though they acknowledge that he's a prophet in verses 19 and 20. Read those verses. It's a classic. Oh, you're obviously a prophet, but... He sees all of us. Shouldn't be a but, should there? He sees us all. He sees us as we truly are, deep within. And there's no capacity for us to say to God, yes, but I've had a bad day. Yes, but. John 4, verses 28 to 30. Marvellous verses. Then the woman left the water jar and went back into the city. She left the thing that brought her there. She told the people, come with me and meet a man who told me everything I've ever done. Could he be the Messiah? The people left the city and went to meet Jesus. Friends, here is the type of person who comes to Jesus and finds the living water. That which Jesus gives her is so invigorating that she stops what she is doing and she leaves the water jar, the human purpose for being there. She leaves the water jar and she sets off to tell people about Jesus. This is outstanding. This is wonderful. This is praiseworthy. And we read the result. Glad read the result. Many Samaritans in that city believed in Jesus because of this woman. What a wonderful testimony that would be if someone came to Jesus and said, I came to Jesus because you spoke to me, or because you were a wonderful example of a Christian, a holy person in a difficult world. Did you see yourself in the mirror of Scripture this morning? I'm not entirely familiar with the habits of this church yet. I come as frequently as I can with my wife Jan, and we worship in the most wonderful way here. And this morning, let's take a few minutes to reflect on what the Scriptures are saying to us. Let's reflect on what God's Word has reached out to us and convicted us of. And let's give just consideration to coming to Jesus and offering our own life in rededication to His purposes. Let's be the people who have others coming to them and sharing a testimony of how their life has been changed because they have interacted with us, with you, with me. And to do that, let's just sing again, Here I Am to Worship. And we're going to do this prayerfully. And if there's people here this morning who want to come and kneel at the place of prayer and be private about it, just you and Jesus, God bless you immensely. If there are others who want to come and have people speak with you, that's a wonderful thing. But there are people here this morning who need renewal. There are people here this morning who need refreshment. There are people here this morning who would know that they've let God down in some way, shape, or form. and you've been reminded of that. Here I am to say, you are my God. Here I am to say. That brings a tear to my eye as I think how wonderfully forgiving God is, how marvelously equipping he is and generous in his gifts, and how wonderful it is for the Holy Spirit to well up within me and bring glory to God. Let's sing this prayerfully, and then it's a time for us for renewing our love and relationship with God this morning in a public way. Great testimony. Bless you. Thank you, team.